CBS Hot in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek and The Hill. And we're joined by our colleague, Alan Tonelson, our guide on manufacturing and trade. Statements by the CEO of Citibank, Jane Fraser, in these last hours, pointing to the supply chain. The supply chain represents why it is that you cannot order certain high-end goods right now without a long wait if you're lucky. The supply chain is why automobile manufacturers are concerned, why even Tesla is concerned about making their numbers, and iPhone says it expects to make a smaller profit in the next quarter reporting because of supply chain. But the statement by the CEO of Citibank is that it will take 5 to 10 years to fix the supply chain, not a quarter, not 2 quarters. Alan, a very good evening to you. 5 to 10 years, so we should get used to it. Is that the way to interpret these remarks? Good evening to you, Alan.
Hiya, John, and hi, Gordon. And I have to tell you, it certainly sounds like that to me. It sounds like the kind of pessimistic whining, frankly, that helped us to get into this mess in the first place, where this very high income, very technologically advanced, very diverse U.S. economy has become heavily dependent on many crucial goods from a hostile dictatorship like China. And I think it's time for us to play the kind of role that the National Press Corps should be playing when CEOs make statements like this, and ask them, what's exactly the message that you're trying to send here? Are you saying that this is just fine? Are you saying that there's no short-term price or no short-term sacrifices that should be made in order to make any change whatever in what's obviously not only a strategically unacceptable situation, but an economically successful situation? And in fact, are you saying that because progress in the short term isn't possible, that we shouldn't start as soon as we possibly can? And again, folks like Jane Fraser of Citibank ought to be forced to answer questions like this because they have major influence on national policy.
Gordon, you have a question for Alan.
Alan, I think this is a perfect example of you take a highly intelligent person who is highly educated, you have them, you put them into the Milken Conference in Los Angeles, and they will say the dumbest things. I practiced law, and 1989, Tiananmen Massacre, I represented an American consumer products company that was publicly listed, and they were concerned about China as a factory floor given the political repression. So they decided to move their factory to Thailand. We did that in 6 months. And by the way, when it became clear that China was, yes, very politically repressive, but open for business, even after Tiananmen, they moved their factory again in months out of Thailand back into Guangdong province. It seems to me that companies can move supply chains very quickly when they have to. Your comments.
That's a very revealing anecdote, Gordon. And I think the point that you're also making, which is really important, is that these are folks who are not only very smart and very short-term focused, but they have major vested stakes in the status quo, because changing the status quo would clearly be more expensive for them than keeping it. But when we're talking about U.S. national interests, these short-term calculations need to be tossed over the side. And more long-term thinking is necessary, and frankly, more pressure from Washington is necessary, and not just rhetorical pressure, but policy pressure, which involves, in large measure, raising tariffs on imports from China even higher, so U.S.-based companies can't make money making it there and selling it here.
Alan, the language these last months has all been about adjusting to the supply chain, that it will work itself out, that the container ships, the prices of the containers have come down, and everything will be resolved at the marketplace. Is that still the opinion now that we're going into this cycle of tightening and worldwide concerns about recession, that it will work itself out?
The supply chain problems, which are, of course, microeconomic in their nature, are and usually are and can be pretty different from macroeconomic policy considerations like recessions. And not that they don't affect each other profoundly. So, for example, if a recession strikes this U.S. economy, that means that the overall demand for goods and services will fall, and therefore pressures on these highly stressed supply chains will, in fact, ease. But what we have seen is that despite all of the snags that have developed for so many different reasons, raising from China's insanely over-the-top zero COVID policy to a major war breaking out in Central Europe, despite all of this, world trade has hardly ground to a halt. It's actually kept up at very respectable levels. Imports keep coming into the United States economy, as we saw from this morning's latest official U.S. trade figures. And what's even more surprising, it certainly has been surprising to me, is that U.S.-based manufacturers and U.S.-based logistics companies seem to be steadily figuring this out, because manufacturing continues to perform very, very well. And in fact, in some respects, better than the economy as a whole. And manufacturing, of course, has become very dependent on efficient supply chain functioning. So again, they're figuring it out. And I expect that as time goes on, they'll get better at figuring it out.
Gordon?
Alan, you mentioned a number of different factors. What's impressed me is that we had these supply chain disruptions going back to the middle of last year, and you have a number of trade professionals continuing to say, well, you know, after we get over this next hump, things will be smooth sailing, whether it's high freight rates or, you know, whatever. But it seems to me that going forward, we have one big problem after another. You know, if it isn't the Chinese COVID rules that you talked about, then it's war in Ukraine. Who knows what it's going to be afterwards? At some point, you would think that the retailers would get the message that it's not a bad idea to start manufacturing closer to the point of consumption. But as you say, well, you know, it doesn't seem to be occurring. But at some point, reality has got to hit these guys, right?
Well, even though there has been a learning curve in supply chain management by manufacturers, I do think that retailers are starting to get this message, and I do think they are receptive to the phenomenon that you referred to, which trade policy mavens and manufacturing mavens call nearshoring, the practice of bringing factories, if not back to the United States, back to countries that are a lot closer to us, namely in the Western Hemisphere, or at least factories that are located in countries that are a lot friendlier, like, for example, many of the other countries in East Asia. So I do think progress has been made on that score, and I do expect that progress will continue, because these companies are cognizant of the fact that we do seem to be entering a world where, as that great former Saturday Night Live character Rosanna Dana said, it's always something. We do seem to be coming into a phase in world history of more and more turbulence. And businesses, not being completely stupid, recognize this. And again, even though we're off to a slower start than I would like to see, and that I'm sure you would like to see, I do expect further progress to actually accelerate.
Alan Tomlinson, who blogs at Reality Check, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,